Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. And starting in verse 15, the Word of God says, "We have not a high priest for which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Can you imagine that? The humility of God. We don't often think the humility of God. But the humility of God, that whatever our infirmity is, He doesn't just understand the infirmity. He knows what it feels like. Right? We talk about not walking in our feelings and our emotions, and that is certainly true. But that does not negate the fact that they are present. That He knows and He understands and He fully comprehends those emotions also. Those feelings that we experience, He knows them. And when in certain times of difficulty, maybe we get very low and very discouraged and shed some tears, He bottles them. And yes, we talk about and we do not live in emotions, but He understands what emotions are and the powerful effect they can have in the experience of the believer. He knows them. Why does He know them? Because He was in all points tempted, like as we are. And that word tempted is not talking about the type of temptation that we have where it's a temptation to sin, but it's a trial and an initiation by the enemy that would like him to sin. In other words, his temptations may never have been internalized like ours, but they were still present. He was still tempted of the devil, but he never internalized the temptation. He never started thinking with the temptation. He never started saying to himself, I know this is wrong, but look at how I feel. No, he just cut it off right at the temptation, right at the root. He knew the source of it, and he cut it off at its source. And so he was tempted in all points like we are, but he had never internalized the temptation. However, he understands what it is to be tempted, to be tried. He understands what it is when we go through a tough time. He knows how it feels. Recall something. He is in you. He is actually in you. The fullness of God, the entire deity, the creator of the universe, the eternal one, actually resides in you. Do you get that? He resides in you. Like, where is God? God is in heaven. Wrong. Where is God? God is in you. And so if you are thinking it, He knows the thought. If you are feeling it, He knows the feeling. If you are experiencing it, He knows the experience. Why? Because He knows these things, because He is in you. He's there. He's in you. And He was tempted like we are in all points, yet without sin. Yet He never operated outside of faith. You see, when I do fail, it's because I'm operating outside of faith. How often do we fail? Once, twice, a minute? How often do we fail? It's because we are operating outside of faith. Every failure that man has, its root is a lack of faith. A lack of trusting God for His promises or His calling or His provision or for an answer to prayer. A lack of trusting God for His life. A lack of trusting God, young people. A lack of trusting God for His relationships. Every failure that we have is a failure of faith. Now, He knows what it's like to be there. But at the same time, in Philippians 4:19, he says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, what does this mean? My God shall supply all my need. How many people have been in the situation where there is a perceived need and there is no supply? How many young people, unfortunately we have very good young people this way, that you guys are much more mature, I think, than the average Christian in this regard. But nevertheless, you are human beings. How many young people get into this position where they say, "I need a guy, I need a girl, I need a relationship, I need a spouse, I need somebody to love me." You already got somebody to love you. God loves you much more than any guy or girl can love you. But how many of us go there from time to time, or if you're maybe a little bit older, or even younger for that matter, "I need a better job. I need my kids to be this certain specific way. I need for this outcome to come to pass." And he doesn't come through. And we've been taught, and this is true, that if he doesn't provide it, I don't need it. But the question is, what is a need? The question so much isn't, do I need it? The question is, what is a need? You see, my God shall supply all my needs. What does that mean? God will provide me with needs. We don't usually think of that. We don't like that. God will provide me with needs. He will supply all my needs. You're looking for a need? Don't worry about it. God will give you one. You think you got one? Don't look for it too closely. God will give you one that's real. My God shall supply all my needs. He gives me the need. You see, this is the thing about this passage. I love these dual passages. This passage where there's a reciprocity. God supplies the need and then He meets the need. You see, this is like, ask whatever you will in His name, in His character, and it will be done for you. God brings you into His character by asking, and because you're asking His character, He brings it to you. Or delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. God gives you the desire, and then God fulfills the desire. Why? Because you've delighted yourself in the Lord. You see, if I am a believer who is walking in the light, then God will provide me with needs. I don't think of it in this way. I don't think that I actually need a need. But I do. I need my needs. I need my needs. Why? Because when I am weak, then I am strong. And I delight in my infirmities because He is strong in my weakness. I don't need to be strong for my circumstance. I need the circumstance to weaken me. Because if the circumstance does not weaken me, He won't be strong for me. I'll be left with my own strength. What kind of a place is that to be? That's a terrible place to be, in my own strength. Why? Because in truth, I have none. I deal with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, and you're relying on my strength? Good luck. Because that's all you're going to have. No, God provides me with the need so that I will be weakened. It's like we were talking the other day. How many people say, "Okay, God, it's time to come through because I'm really getting weak here." And God says, "Yeah, isn't it great?" I say, "It's not so great. I'm very weak here, God. I might fail. I'm very weak here." So you won't fail. "I might fail, God. I'm very weak here. You won't fail. Why won't I fail? Because I will come through for you every single time. You see, I am strong in your weakness." And it's like that weightlifter, right? How strong is the weightlifter as they're lifting weights? Like, you get done lifting weights as a weightlifter, you don't feel too strong. You feel very, very weak. But what is it doing for you? It's building your muscles. God supplies me with my need. I need my need. I don't always need the solution right away. And as a matter of fact, the absence of the solution right away is a portion of that need. You see, there's this little trick God played on us. He gave us something. Young people, you understand all about this, although you may not realize it's happening at the time. He gave us things like hormones. I need that girl. No, you need me, and that girl will be provided in the proper time. I need that guy or I don't feel good about myself. If you rely on that guy to make you feel good about yourself, you're going to feel terrible about yourself all your life. What do you need? You need to wait upon the Lord. Why? Because they that wait upon the Lord, in Isaiah 40:31, will renew their strength. So in my time of weakness, is actually the time when my strength is being built. My strength for what? The only strength I have, trusting my Savior. And now, patience brings experience. Experience, hope. Hope does not make ashamed. How do I get patience, by the way? Faith, believe in God. So really, faith, hope, experience, not ashamed. Not disappointed. That's what it's saying in the original. Not disappointed. I need my need. Without my need, I will not have any kind of a walk with God. I can't live with God apart from a need. Why? Because I need to know that I need Him. And if I don't have a need, how am I ever going to turn to Him for my need? I need to know that I cannot deal with it on my own. Right? I need to know that. If I'm a guy, I need to know that I can have a relationship with him without a girl. How in the world is a girl going to give you a relationship with him? She's going to distract you from him. Ladies, how in the world is a guy going to give you a relationship with him? He's going to distract you from him. You're going to be focused as much or sometimes more on that person than you are on the provision. And you know, that guy or that girl is made of dust. I need that dust.
I need a dust bunny.
I need that dust. I need their dust. I can't be happy without their dust. I need their dust. Really? I usually vacuum dust. I need that dust. No, you don't. You need the Savior. You need God, and you need to know His heart towards you so that you realize that He supplies all your needs. See, therein is that dirty little trick of the hormones. Young people have this overwhelming biochemical thing. By the way, biochemical thing. Biochemistry is not the same as the nature of God. Young people have this overwhelming biochemical thing that unless they turn to God, they can't deal with it. God gave them a need. And what they think they need is not what they need. They think they need somebody else's biochemical thing. But they don't. Dust doesn't need dust. Dust needs a vacuum. Why did he do that? I believe he did it because there's my first real lesson as I'm coming to maturity about trusting God in all my ways and not leaning on my own understanding. This is why I teach my young folks, don't date. You're looking for dust and God is looking for you. You're better off with God. You're looking for the very distraction that will keep you from getting to know Him real. Do you honestly believe that if He created the universe, He can't bring you the right person at the right time? God, I know You created the universe. Pluto was not a problem for You. But whoever over there is, Bob's a problem for you. He won't come in time. Or whoever. Of course He'll come in time. God's time, maybe not yours. But what do you know about time? How far into time can you see where God knew the end from the beginning? Right, how many of you guys can see 2 minutes from now? Show of hands. What does 2 minutes from now look like? You think it looks like this room? This room isn't time. This room is a room. But isn't that what we do as believers? And it's not just with relationships. It's one thing after another until we go home to be with the Lord. Why? Because God is providing with me with needs so that in my need I turn to Him and I get to know Him as my provider. I need a job. How am I going to get a job? I need a job. I need a job really bad, God. Well, how am I going to feed my family? How am I going to feed myself? How am I going to pay for gas? You mean how are you going to pay your bills? Yeah, how am I going to pay my bills? Well, show me one time when God's children have been begging for bread. Show me one time when God was not faithful. Show me one time when God said, oh yeah, you, I forgot about you. Show me one time. Well, I feel like yes, then don't live by your feelings. They're not real. They're just these vague imaginations through neural impulses, these projections going through, these electrical little projections going through your mind as one neurotransmitter is hitting another neurotransmitter in a certain portion of your brain around the amygdala. There's your emotion. But God, my amygdala. And what about the hippocampus? The hippo on campus? Don't worry about the hippo on campus. You see, we believers are so strange. When is it going to come, God? It's going to come at the appointed time. Habakkuk 2:3, it's going to come at the appointed time. It's going to come at the appointed time. That's when the answer is going to come. So what are you worrying about? You see, we believers, we see a need, or even a perceived need, and we say to ourselves, what's going on? And you know what's going on? God provided you with a provision to get to know Him. And we believers are so weird, we're going to try to start meeting our own need. Can you imagine if dust started trying to vacuum itself up? What would that look like? This little dust ball jumping up and down. Where's the window? Where's the window? I mean, can you just imagine that? Really? I mean, it's kind of what it's like. We trying to provide our own need is absolutely strange. And this is where you get people doing, very smart people doing very stupid things. Now, how many times have you seen somebody and you're wondering, how in the world did they hook up with them? Very smart person, how in the world did they hook up with them? You know why? They're trying to meet their own needs. Very smart people doing very stupid things. Why? Lack of faith. Lack of faith. That's all it is. Lack of faith. How many young girls are trying to go after guys thinking they're going to somehow fix them? Okay, the guy beats up every girlfriend he has and you want this guy? No, I'm going to fix him. I'm different. Different dust. Same vacuum. Different dust. My God surprised me with a need. And He did it on purpose and He did it for a reason, and that need is my provision to get to know Him. This is why Paul delighted in his infirmities. Why? In his infirmity, he got to know God in that situation. I'll never forget when Tony, my friend Tony, was dying of cancer. And Pastor Stevens went to visit him in the hospice. And this was just a few weeks prior to when he died. And Pastor asked him, Tony, how are you doing? And Tony said to him, I'm getting to know God in this situation. I wouldn't have gotten to know God in this situation any other way. You see, there's a side of God I could never get to know if it wasn't for that need. Do you really want to get to know Him? Then you need to get to know all of Him, or you won't know Him at all. If all you know is how a person sings, do you really know that person? If all you know is, like, I know how well Van Gogh could paint. But can I say I know Van Gogh? No, I only know a part of him. But if God does not supply me with one need after another, with diverse temptations, how in the world am I ever going to go to know the diverse sides of God? How in the world will I get to know the colors of His character if I don't have a need? And if my need doesn't take on various shades, how will I get to know God? I can't. You see, Jesus learned obedience. In one way of looking at it, Jesus learned who God was through the things He suffered. Because why do I obey Him? Because I learn an aspect of His love for me. So Jesus learned various aspects of love that the Father had towards Him, and in that love, His faith worked. I'm the same way. I learned various aspects of the love of God toward me in the various aspects of my needs. And when I have a need for one thing and then another, and you know what? It's never going to end till the day you go home to be with the Lord, so get used to it. When I have a need in one thing or another, it's simply because God is getting me to know Him in one thing after another. And so I get to know His voice, I get to know His heart, I get to know His mind. I get to know how He acts and how He thinks. My wife's mother died in 2002, and she still knows exactly what her mother would tell her in every situation she's in. Why? Because she knows her mom. God is like that with us. Any situation we are in, we know exactly what God is thinking. Because we know God. But we can't know Him apart from that need. So He supplies all our need. And on those times when those needs become very difficult for us, because we've kind of shifted our focus away a little bit, stopped thinking with His Word and started having our emotions do an end run around our mind to our volition. At those times, God says, I know the feelings of your infirmities. I'm not a high priest that can be touched. I know the feelings of your infirmities. You know why? I gave them to you. And in those times of need, I get to know the different aspects of who God is. So when you have a need, or when you perceive a need, don't get frustrated because it's not come yet. In fact, it has come. The need is what you need. And when you no longer need that need, the answer will come. Amen?